Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trying to get through 100 topics, we must get moving. Jolie Nelson at the command, Chris Mack in for Cook. I'm reading from Noah Hiles at the Post-Gazette. Veteran Pitt cornerback Marquise Williams has never been hesitant to express what's on his mind. He sure did here. I'll tell you the story. Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, tweeted a long analysis this morning of Keaton Slovis, Pitt's former quarterback who transferred to BYU. He's saying he was surprised the quarterback not only returned to college but transferred out of Pitt to do so. He defended his stat line from last season, basically said he's a pretty good quarterback, that he's tough, etc. Well, Marquise Williams has a different perspective on Keaton Slovis, Mr. Mackey. He, in a quote tweet underneath the Nagy tweet, says, LOL, I wish he was on our schedule so we could make him quit like he did on us.
Woo! Spicy.
That's as spicy as it gets. That's as big of an insult as it gets.
Calls him
in
a quitter.
All of sports.
A quitter.
What do we make of this?
That Keaton Slovis wasn't well liked by teammates. That Keaton Slovis, if somebody's willing to say he quit, then that means at some point that quit was seen by his teammates. I was unimpressed by Keaton Slovis. I really was.
Yeah.
I think Nick Patty probably should have had the job. I know he was a little unrefined at times in his play, but as a neutral observer of Panther quarterbacking last year, I don't think Slovis helped them in any great deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's talking about quitting during games. To me, like the Tennessee game, didn't he keep playing after he got his bell rung? As I recall, I thought he took some hits and kept playing. But the story goes on to say that Slovis, according to Williams, never told his teammates he was leaving. And Williams, after Slovis transferred, tweeted out this when the transfer became public to BYU. Mm-hmm. Williams tweeted, as a team captain, you're supposed to talk to your boys first before anything. Wasn't no love at all. And that tweet got liked by other Pitt players, maybe former players.
And that's what I mean by the quit being observed by his teammates.
That makes sense to me.
He decided it made more sense. Now,
I don't blame them. I don't blame anybody for leaving and transferring ever.
No.
But I think as a team captain, you really need to tell your guys. You really do.
At the very least. I do think he owed them some level of communication.
Mackey?
Well, let's keep with Pitt then, shall we?
We shall.
Since I asked you earlier, where does Pitt football rank in the ACC? And we argued about it. You said second, I said third, but we defined it differently. I'll ask you this then. Where does Penn State rank in the Big Ten? Football.
I think Penn State's going to be good, man, but you got problems there. You got Ohio State and you got Michigan, so I'm going to go third.
This is far too easy. I agree. Penn State, third in the Big Ten, not just this year, but most years. And that's their glass ceiling since they've joined the Big Ten.
Very nice, and I'm glad that you brought that up because Pat Forty, who writes for SI.com, writes, excitement aside, the Big Ten's new arrangement, we'll call it, is logistically irrational. And he talks about the travel for USC and UCLA and how ridiculous it truly is going to be. And I think he's right about this, really. But he also talks about Penn State. They're preserving all the natural rivalries, and the Big Ten has even deemed that Penn State doesn't even have one. There's nobody there that considers Penn State a rival. I remember Sandy Barber saying basically we don't need rivals. Does Penn State need a rival? Should they want a rival? Why don't they have one? Or true rival where the other team thinks so too?
Why is Ohio State not that? Does Ohio State not enjoy beating Penn State more often
than not?
Because
they already have their rival, and it's Michigan.
You can only have one rival?
One major one.
I think the Big Ten is doing
No, maybe Penn- you're right. Maybe you're right. Because Pitt has West Virginia and Penn State.
Doesn't Michigan have Michigan State as well?
You're right. I was wrong, and you're right.
Thank you. So there's no reason Penn State can't have Ohio State as a rival, even though Ohio State already has Michigan.
But what if Ohio State doesn't agree to that? I mean, what if people in Ohio State, do they consider Penn State a big rivalry? I don't think so.
Are Ohio State fans
don't
really...
Don't both teams have to acknowledge it?
Are Ohio State fans really gassed up to play Northwestern each of the next two seasons?
Is that your bar? At least we're a bigger rival than Northwestern.
No, I'm asking, why doesn't Penn State-Ohio State make the schedule every year when Penn State is being made to play Rutgers twice in the next 2 years?
Well, that's a different
Ohio
question.
State's being
that's
made
a different
to play
question.
Northwestern twice.
I'm asking more about Penn State simply doesn't have a real rival because it takes both schools to acknowledge and both fan bases that we're rivals. You know it when you see it.
By that math, then Penn State Pitt is not a rivalry. A lot of us who are Penn Staters acknowledge it as a rivalry, but a lot of other Penn Staters don't acknowledge it as a rivalry.
But
anymore.
Enough do to make it a rivalry, especially around
here. So there's
here.
A percentage.
Yes,
you don't think 40-50% of Ohio State fans love beating Penn State fans because they're from Eastern Ohio Penn State friends and family?
I think if you went and polled Penn State fans, how many fit in their stadium?
107,000.
If you polled 107,000 in one of them, and with a simple yes or no question, you could reach all their phones from the press box and say, is Penn State a rival? 107 and one would say no.
Oh, you're asking Ohio State fans?
Yes. It takes the other fan base to acknowledge that it's a rivalry.
No, a large percentage
would call
Penn State a
rivalry. Jolie, are you ever
going to
press the buzzer? We can't go on all day here.
It was a good discussion, though.
No, it was a great discussion. I disagree. Why won't Phil Steele get back to me? Phil Steele puts out a magazine that's roughly the size of Mulsey's Cranium, and I love it. It would take, I read it every year.
It's the best.
Believe me. I'm going to read you my DM to Phil Steele, and you tell me whether this is aggressive or kind of him.
Okay.
You know of him, right?
Yes, I
know.
I try to get Phil on at some point every year, regardless of what show I'm on.
I thought I had heard Phil on a show, which reminded me, I think I was driving to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a national show? I don't know. So last Wednesday at 11:09 p.m., I DM'd him. I said, Phil, could you join me tomorrow at 1 p.m. to talk college football /Pitt on Pitt's flagship station, The Fan?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Starkey. That's me.
Yes, that's you.
He didn't answer.
No.
Today, 9 days later, I sent him a simple DM at 9:13 a.m. that said, Phil? With a question mark. We follow each other on Twitter. I don't think he would know me if he saw me, but...
Like Dion wouldn't know Pat Narduzzi?
Exactly. That was great. So Phil answers back, Joe, just finished magazine, and that was 18 hours a day, all 7 days a week, the last 3 weeks. I am unplugged right now and not ready for radio shows for a couple of weeks. Email Chris, not you.
Yeah, Chris Van Dyne.
And he will get you set up for the first week I am doing shows. Currently going through each game week by week and establishing my lines on each game. Look forward to talking to you later this month. Chris is at, he gives me the email for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, exclamation point. Nice, passive aggressive, or fully aggressive?
Nice.
You think?
Yes. Chris, if you get in touch with Chris, he will help you. Chris is a Pittsburgh guy.
Is he?
Yes.
Jolie, how do you interpret that?
I think we're good.
Okay, then we're good.
There you go.
I'm calling a time in. My second time in.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, this is big.
I'm down to one.
Go ahead.
I wanted to make the point that sometimes I perceive hostility where it's not there, and perhaps this was a case of that, and I'm trying to grow as a man.
I'm proud of you for observing that and admitting it.
And I will email Chris, and I'll have Phil Steele on the show because I love him.
I can't wait to listen to it.
You?
Or maybe Ron will be off again, and I'll be here for it.
Maybe.
That would be exciting.
Very.
All right, we talked about Pitt. We talked about Penn State. Where does WVU rank in the Big 12? As a program.
I'm going to be very honest with you.
Go ahead.
I've lost track of who the hell is in the Big 12. May I look it up for a moment?
Yes. I think that's an important part of the conversation.
Yeah. Do you blame me?
WVU is in a conference.
Who's in and who's
where
out of the Big 12.
You lose track of who's in it year to year.
And by the way, one of my previous questions was going to be, who's more out of place, USC and UCLA in the Big 10 or West Virginia in the Big 12, where their softball team has to go to Waco, Texas on a school night to play a game and come back?
Doesn't it feel like a lot of conferences are like that now, Joe?
I know, but there's certain schools that are wildly, wildly misplaced. And okay. 40 is right when he talks about USC going into the Big Ten, going to Rutgers to play a game. Are you kidding me?
Do you think the UCLA softball program is excited about going to Piscataway?
No, I don't.
That's what I'm talking about. For a weekend series in March?
So who's even in the Big 12, the blanking Big 12 anymore? I don't know.
Oklahoma and Texas for one more year.
Thank you. I wouldn't have known that either. I forgot how long they're going to be in the Big 12.
Oklahoma State.
Texas Tech still there.
Your national championship game loser TCU Horned Frogs.
Where is West Virginia this season or as a program in general?
Yes. Yes. You can define it as you wish.
This season, I don't know and I don't care. They stink and I hardly know any of the other teams' backgrounds this season. As a program all time, they're certainly behind Texas. They're certainly behind...
Oklahoma. Behind TCU now?
I don't know about that. West Virginia's got a nice little football history, and I would say especially... Not lately, obviously, but in the 21st century, they did some winning. And unlike a lot, how many schools can claim that they played Clemson in a big bowl game and absolutely blew their doors off and embarrassed them?
Not many. West Virginia can.
How many can say they got Oklahoma in a big bowl game and humiliated Oklahoma? Not many.
I think this is
Take that, Crowley. I mean, enjoy that, Crowley.
Historically, top half of Big Ten football programs, if not top third, given who's now entered
Big
the conference.
Big 12 football programs.
Yes.
Yeah. You said Big Ten.
Oh, I'm sorry. Big
it's
12.
Okay. Yeah.
This year, bottom third, if not bottom quarter. They will be horrid, and I can't understand why Neil Brown is still the coach there.
Thank you, Jolie. I thought it was a late buzzer, but who am I? That's just my opinion.
What number are we on, Jolie?
I don't know. Jolie?
51 is next.
Whoa, we're halfway through, Joe.
I got one here, buddy. Oklahoma softball. Is this the best dynasty in all of sports right now? They've won three straight national titles. They have won 53 games in a row, and they're coming back next year with all their players. This is like Avonworth softball that we lost to in the playoffs this year. All their players just come back every year.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that if they're still eligible.
Yes, no, there's not.
I added an extra syllable.
It's good. It's good for them. Bad for everyone else.
Yes, they're the best dynasty in sports right now. Absolutely. That many wins in a row, three consecutive national championships. Yes.
You had me at yes. Mackie?
More fun to watch, minor league baseball or college softball?
College softball by a trillion miles.
I'm with you on that.
A trillion miles. I used to have to cover high school baseball. No offense to anybody who plays high school baseball and high school softball. And I would pray to get the softball assignment. It's a much cleaner, tighter, shorter game and fun.
I'm with you. And I don't just say that as a softball dad. I say that as a neutral observer of both games.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just like coverage. If you were going to give me a choice tonight to watch a minor league baseball game or one of these Women's World Series games, those things are wildly entertaining.
I agree.
Thank you, Mackie. Nick Chubb is honoring the late Jim Brown this season. He says he's playing for Jim Brown. Nick Chubb the best running back in the game right now?
Oh.
You get one running back to save the world, Mackie.
It's a big game.
A lot of ramifications if you don't win this one. Who's your active running back to win that game?
It is.
Oh, love Nick Chubb. No, go ahead.
It's Nick Chubb. It is. It's him.
Really?
Yes. Best running back in the game right now.
I need a little bit of rationale for that before Jolie hits the buzzer.
I just think he's done it long enough now as one of the top 3 to 5 running backs in the game consistently. He shows up. He performs. He grounds their offense. And I don't mean that as some sort of punny allusion to how Kevin Stefanski handles his play calling. I mean, he grounds the offense and that everything should go through him. Stefanski screws it up more often than not and doesn't run the offense through Chubb and probably won't again this year because of Deshaun Watson. So they'll screw it up, but he is the best back in the game.
I'm choosing Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Got that in before the buzzer, didn't I, Mackie?
Very nice work by you. All right. Better NHL coverage, ESPN or TNT?
Oh, that's a great question.
I know.
To me, they're very similar. They have too many old-time hockey guys, for the most part, that I don't enjoy. Isn't it some of the same people?
No.
It's not?
No.
Seems that way.
No. My voice keeps getting progressively higher.
No.
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 They're all going to laugh at you.
Who is it? Who's different? Let me put it to you this way. Isn't Barry Melrose... He's still on ESPN, right?
Yes, yes. That's exactly the problem with ESPN.
I know, but then they have...
Is that it's all the same old guys, other than Buchagross, who I...
Who's new on TNT? I see PK Subban. Tell me who else.
No, PK Subban's on ESPN.
I don't know who's on which.
You can't even recuse yourself,
No.
yourself.
That's exactly the thing. They're both so bad that, that they're the same to me.
TNT Studio Show is the best thing going for hockey coverage.
They show Wayne Gretzky highlights half the time, and they have Wayne, oh, he's our guy, Wayne Gretzky, and then he never does or says anything.
No, Paul Bissonnette, fantastic.
Nope.
Anson Carter, very good.
Paul Bissonnette is good on a podcast. He's not good on TV, I don't think.
He's excellent on TV. He brings life and energy
and
personality.
Hockey guy humor.
Rick Tocchet. I know he's coaching now again, but when he was on their studio desk, fantastic. Would break down the game and then throw jokes back and forth at Biz.
Yeah, see, it's the
Liam
hockey
McHugh does a great job of grounding all of it. Anson Carter, very good hockey takes and still gets in line with all the fun and nonsense. Henrik Lundqvist, very good-looking man. They have well-dressed as well. They do a great job.
And in your humble opinion, in mine.
And they give Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk as the top announce crew. Give it to me. Yes, please, and thank you.
My turn?
Mm-hmm.
I almost called the time in there. I have to tell you that right now.
Really?
We covered Phil Steele.
We did. Whoa, you never asked me about 30 for 30s.
Ah, that's the one I teased to. I watch these addictively, as a matter of fact. I was just watching A Football Life on Ronnie Lott. They were interviewing his daughter about what she thought about him cutting off his own pinky to play in a game. He said he would rethink it. Hmm. I can't get enough. So a Pittsburgh sports topic or personality from history that you want as a 30 for 30, Mackie?
The rise of the late 80s, early 90s Pittsburgh Pirates. Jim Leland. Barry Bonds. The blow up in Bradenton at Pirate City.
Ron
Andy
would
Vance
be prominently like, featured in
he
that.
He would. With the head hat, remember that?
The head hat, yes. He still doesn't know where that came from. We talked about it last week.
It was a free piece of gear that I'm sure Ron loved very dearly. Andy Van Slyke, Bobby Bonilla, Doug Drabek, John Smiley, the breakup of the thing in 91 and then 92.
Yeah.
And the closing scene is a former Pirate who helped those guys come up, scoring the game-winning run to go to the World Series. It still makes me cry when I think about it.
Has there not been any sort of documentary on that game yet?
MLB did a great job on, when they did the top 20 games of all time, having Van Slyke and Sid and a few other people in there. I want to say it was maybe Mark Lemke or somebody in studio to talk about the game. It was very good. But ESPN has not done a 30 for 30 on the 87 through 92 Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mine's tied with Jack Lambert. Have to see A Football Life on Jack Lambert, even if he won't participate. You get the people somehow closest to him from his career and after. And then the smuggling of Evgeny Malkin into the United States.
That's a great call.
Hiding out in Finland. You talk to all the key players.
Weren't you covering that at the time?
Pricey was for the Trib. Karen Price. I was a columnist then. She was the beat writer.
Okay.
What was the one? Oh, Lambert. Yeah. One time I drove all the way to Lambert's house and put a hockey book in his mailbox. Never heard from him.
We had
a weird thing going where he would send me handwritten letters about stories he either liked or didn't like.
It sounds like you should produce this, Joe.
I should. There was one that he didn't like. That he signed Love and Kisses Jack or Hugs and Kisses Jack, that type of thing.
Right.
And then there was one he did like that he signed the same thing. So I thought, knowing that he's a hockey guy, and I've always wanted to do the Jack Lambert story and talk to him, I drove all the way up there, and you can't get close to the house, but I put a hockey book in the mailbox. Never heard from him.
Which book was it?
The one I wrote. autographed for Jack Lambert.
I bet he liked it.
Tales from the Pittsburgh Penguins locker rooms, which you can still get for less than $20 on Amazon, incidentally. I'm calling my third time in before halftime. I'm going to get fired.
No, we're past halftime. This is a third quarter
timeout. I once did a story. I guess it was Kittanning. Where did the Lambert kids go to high school? I don't remember.
It was up that way.
They played softball. So, and his wife was coaching, I believe.
Okay.
So I interviewed her and the two girls who were wonderful, wonderful personalities,
really?
All of them. And it was the closest I ever got to Jack Lambert. But they talked about what it was like to have Jack Lambert as your dad, whether he still liked the NFL. He was a very supportive sports dad. Sometimes he would stand outside the gym door.
I just found the story.
You did?
Yes.
What's the title of it?
Hold on. Now it's not. Jack Lambert's children live the sporting life in Worthington.
Let's hear the lead. I think it's probably really good.
The story itself won't load. I'm just getting the preview.
No, for God's sakes. He would stand outside the gym.
Every so often, one of Lauren Lambert's schoolmates will realize that Lauren's father, a Little League baseball coach named Jack, was the raging, toothless middle linebacker on the Steelers' four Super Bowl teams of the 1970s.
Very well written. It flows. There's the use of alliteration, and also you can see the toothless, raging monster.
Lauren's typical response, quote, "That's just my dad."
And really good. That's good writing. That's why I taught it at Waynesburg.
That's why
Nicholas Callis was one of my students.
That's why I told you, your questions are better than mine.
Thank you, Mackie.
Thank you.
Jolie, I asked Andrew Filipponi, speaking of Nicholas Callis, to send you a clip of Nicholas Callis's Taekwondo teacher telling us just how good he is at that sport. Has that happened yet? Could you check your email? He says yes. But he only nodded his head, which doesn't lend itself to radio, Mackie.
How many topics have we done now?
Jolie?
56 is next.
Wow.
And you know what the topic's going to be?
What?
Mackie?
Tell me.
How much will you personally miss the Coastal Division of the ACC? Great Coastal moments. And back to rivals. Who's Pitt's big ACC rival, if you had to pick one in the ACC? All that coming up. Bob Walk, top of the hour. We're almost to 60 topics. We need to get to 100. This has never happened in fan history. It's 12:29. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com, and you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Oh, and Cook & Joe every Wednesday. Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry.
That's you.
Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do you often get angry, or at least sometimes get angry at inanimate objects, Mackie, such as a computer?
Sometimes.
I just did, twice.
Yeah, it happens, even to the best of us.
Yeah, there's no time to talk about that, though, because we need to get to 100 topics. Where are we, Jolie?
This will be 56. Is that right?
Is this our 56th topic?
Yes, sir, 56.
All right.
I believe this is the last year of the ACC's Coastal Division, Mackey. What will you miss most about the Coastal Division?
Let me count the things I will miss about the Coastal Division. There, I'm done.
The News and Observer, ACC Coastal Division will be missed. Really? Or did they already abandon it? Are they having it this year? I don't even know.
No. Last year was the last year of divisions, was it not, in the ACC?
Yeah, you're right, for 2023. Where have I been?
I don't know. Right here.
This was
wonderful radio.
It was good for Pitt, I'll tell you that much. Pat Narduzzi figured out a way, and that's what you always do, man. You build your teams around your division and figure out ways to beat your divisional opponents.
But if
that's
they really
what you have
are,
to do.
And we talked about this earlier, if they really are one of the top two or three programs, football programs in the ACC,
yes,
then they're going to be right there with Clemson anyway, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Mackie?
Would you get a tattoo of your favorite team?
No. My favorite team in sports right now is the Golden State Warriors. They're the only team I root for as a fan, although sometimes I relapse into the Bills if they're in, the AFC championship game and score the winning touchdown. And people from around the country and my old friends in Buffalo call me and say, wow, we're going to the Super Bowl. And I text them back and say, no, there's 13 seconds left. Are you nuts? Didn't you see the Music City Miracle? Didn't you see Scott Norwood? Didn't you see 100 other games? And then 13 seconds later, because their idiot coach has them play prevent defense, they go right down the field and kick the losing field goal. Then things like that happen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What if they won a Super Bowl?
The Bills?
Yeah.
I would be a Bills fan for a day.
But you wouldn't get a tattoo.
No. You?
Neither would I. No.
Thank you, Jolie. That was very well timed. How will you remember, I'm way into this rivalry thing with Pitt, the River City rivalry with Pitt and Cincinnati and the River City rivalry trophy. They did have one incredible game. I'll say that much.
And that's really it. I mean, it's that game. It's the heartbreak for Pitt in that game. It's the elation for Tony Pike and Marty Gilliard and the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Let me expand upon
that one game.
Let me expand upon that. Has Pitt gained one new rival in the ACC? Do you think of one school where you say, man, they've developed a nice rivalry? I'll answer that. No.
No, probably not. But I will say this. A couple more quality games against Clemson? I don't think it's a rivalry quite on par with what Clemson has with some of those teams down south. But they'll definitely look at Pitt as that one of those Yankee teams that comes down here and surprises us every once in a while. And I think Pitt fans, they get up for Clemson as well. They should.
Jolie?
5 years from now, who will be the best quarterback in the NFL?
Patrick Mahomes.
Still?
Yes.
Joe Burrow.
That's not a bad pick. Because when you actually think about it, Joe Burrow has beaten Patrick Mahomes in three of the last four, right?
Yes. Two of the last three or three of the last four.
And he walked into Kansas City last year, and I don't think they embarrassed themselves. I mean, it took a last second, really, drive and score for the Chiefs to win that game. So that's not a bad pick. Of course that's a good pick.
Thank you.
What if I gave you who's the kid for North Carolina right now? Who is the closest
Drake
thing?
May?
Yes. Closest thing I've seen to Ben since Ben.
Oh, boy. That's
that style, sort of the stature. That's what I mean by that. He looks to me like Ben. He's unbelievable. I don't know if that was meant to
That's good.
Injure my take or he just wants to move on.
He just wants to move on. We've got a pace to keep.
Do you think Ben Cherington believes that this Pirates team is worth helping?
The 2023 Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes. We always talk about around trade deadlines in every sport. They have to prove to the GM that they deserve the help. Do you think he looks at this team and says, I'm going to get them some help because they deserve it?
Not yet, but maybe in a month. Not yet, but maybe in a month he'll be on board. Something that tells me he's more on board now with that idea than he was a few weeks ago. Bumping Mitch Keller back onto schedule, back onto 4 days rest, skipping another turn in the rotation, whether it's because Contreras blew up the other day or Velasquez is hurt or whatever else, because of the number of off days in the last 2 weeks, three, which ends up matching up perfectly to give Keller to the Mets on Sunday at PNC Park to close the series, to close the homestand, and perhaps send them off on a successful road trip to Chicago and Milwaukee. That's the kind of move I believe a contending team or a team that believes they're in contention makes. So I think he's coming around on it, but he's not all the way there yet.
Thank you, Mackie.
Thank you, Joe.
I have a great topic next. Where are we, Joel? Huh? Where are we up to now?
61 is next.
Ooh, we're going to get flying to 75 before the end of the hour, and I have a great one up next. The NCAA is finally and mercifully changing a basketball rule, and I am very happy about it. I'll ask Mackie about that next. First, I want to tell you that you can listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It's Cook and Joe with Mac in.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One of my pet peeves is the charge in basketball. To a certain extent, it ruins my watching of the NBA. It's ridiculous to have, and they've done a great job in the NBA of increasing offense, of doing everything they can to increase offense. And then you have this idiotic charge rule where as long as your feet are outside of the restricted area, the circle in there, you can get in front of a guy who's just launched, who's already launched into a creative offensive play, and it's resulted in injuries. Look at the Greek Freak. Giannis, he got injured in the playoffs. Other guys have. So in college basketball, they're changing it to where you have to have your feet planted, your pleat fanted, before the guy takes off. That just
makes sense. Isn't that what charging is supposed to be?
Yes.
The charging rule?
Yes.
Those pleat better get fanted.
And I can't stand the fact that Duke made its reputation in to a large degree on taking charges. Maybe I'm just still resentful toward Rich Greco from high school because he took charges and he seemed to get ahead of me on the depth chart because of fake hustle. And I resented that. I can't stand it. I just can't stand all the fake crap in the NBA. It's like soccer. You got guys flopping all over the place. Change the restricted area, make it bigger, and make it so you can't get a charge unless you're in position before a guy takes off.
I'm with you. I don't have any argument for this. Should the Steelers renovate Heinz Field like the Jaguars want to do to their stadium in Jacksonville?
No, I love Heinz Field. I don't need any bells and whistles. I need a patch of grass and a bunch of people sitting there watching men knock each other into oblivion.
If you owned a football team that would make a lot more money based on your agreement with the stadium for having big events like concerts in your stadium and could hold more of them if your stadium were renovated and could make more money in a renovated stadium, would you want to do that?
Sure, but that's a very different question. You're asking me if I was the owner of a business about my revenues more. I'm a fan watching the games. I don't need anything. I don't need the bells and whistles. I don't need the Jerry Jones Dome or SoFi Stadium, whatever they're building in Buffalo. I need basically a bunch of seats together and a patch of grass.
That's fair.
I like that buzzer.
It's a very good buzzer.
See, I think Jolie can change the tempo of this game by use of the buzzer.
Yeah, that was very good
I think
good
at
work.
Times we've waned in the energy on our way to 100 topics, and I feel like you just changed the energy there.
We're
and
in the mid-60s.
I really enjoyed that. Chris, are you going to be rooting for Devin Bush in Seattle or no?
No, hell no.
Against him, really?
No, I'm not rooting for Devin Bush. Devin Bush has zero awareness of who Devin Bush is, which is a guy who I get a feeling didn't face much adversity growing up because he comes from a well-off football family and just expected he was going to show up in the NFL and be good at football, or at least as good as he was in college at Michigan, and he's not. And he's got zero awareness of the fact that he wasn't very good at football in the NFL to the extent that he feels like he was done wrong by the Pittsburgh Steelers, when in fact he did them wrong by not living up to what he was what was traded for him when they moved up to acquire him. No, I'm not rooting for Devin Bush.
I'm rooting for Devin Bush.
You're wrong.
I think you can't be wrong by saying what your feelings are. You can be wrong on an opinion.
I'm telling you, you're wrong anyway.
Okay. Wow. All right, I'm next. How soon before PGA Tour president, whatever the hell he is,
Jay
commissioner,
Monahan?
Jay Monahan gets fired, and should he be fired?
I give it until, when's the next big tournament? Late July. I give it like a month. He takes everything on the chin for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and they look at him and say, thank you for your service, but we're now merging with this other large entity. What the hell do we need you for anymore? And the players say, you didn't help us anyway. So, goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, it's never a good thing when you look like the biggest hypocrite in all of sports, and also you've done people like Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods completely wrong. Not that I'm feeling sorry for anyone necessarily on this, but he is an absolute joke.
Best Mackie? Pizza topping.
Well, I like the meat lover's pizza. No, so
single topping, though.
A single topping. Pepperoni. Yeah. Good old-fashioned pepperoni. Although I don't like it when it has the little oil pooled in the middle of each pepperoni
slice.
You don't
like when they curl up into little
cups? I'm the napkin person who takes the napkin and dabs it before I eat it.
What kind of man are you? Sausage.
Which kind of sausage?
The crumbly sausage.
Crumbly. I like crumbly.
Crumbly
sausage.
Did you
know I used to make pizzas for a living?
What?
Bocce's Pizza in Buffalo. I would throw six of them in the oven at a time. I'd remove them at different times, slice them up really quickly, and then get resentments against all the customers.
Okay.
Thank you, Jolie. The Red Sox manager benched an established player yesterday. And I'm wondering, why doesn't Shelty ever bench anybody in the middle of a game? We had him on, and he just says that he basically says this is not good policy. I believe this was Alex Cora who
benched Verdugo, right?
Benched Verdugo. You're exactly right. And I just happened to pass by the headline, and I thought, this happened also last week in the majors. Who was it? I can't think of it. And I think it's good policy. Come on. This is pro sports. You should be held accountable for your actions. They bench people in NFL games. Why is it against the unwritten rules of baseball? Or why won't we do this if you're Shelty?
I don't have a problem with this because it's also, according to the story, for a lack of hustle. So by all means, you're a professional. You're getting paid millions of dollars in most cases to go out and play a game. I understand it's your chosen profession, your vocation. You should give your all. And this isn't, oh, you hit a hard ground ball to short, you know you're going to be out, you should sprint 100 miles an hour down the line.
Right.
Those occasions, I understand, less than 100%
Would you like to see
Shelty
rip a guy out of a game?
If necessary.
If necessary, like, what would it be for you? This? Not hustling?
Maybe getting thrown out at third when you lose track of how many outs there are in an inning?
How about starting a rundown between home and first for the first time in baseball history?
That would have been.
Cell phone popping out of a pocket?
All those things.
I'll never forget Jim Tracy when he was the Pirate manager. Jeremy Bernitz, who later thanked Dave Littlefield for the contract he gave him, even though Bernitz was horrible, didn't run out of a ground ball to first. We asked him about it after the game, and Tracy's quote was, "What, did you think he was going to be safe?" No, Jim, but in case the guy bobbles the ball or drops it, you'd like your $17 million player, whatever he was, sprinting down the line.
Show a little effort, yeah.
Thank you, Jolie.
Youth baseball and softball, turf or natural grass?
Oh, man, is that a good question.
Thank you.
Would you include dirt? UCLA plays on all dirt. Can I include that?
Wait, they don't have any grass?
No.
Not in the outfield?
In the outfield they do, yeah.
Oh. Well, yes. Softball fields typically don't have a grass infield.
But they have a turf infield.
Sometimes.
You can find those. Yeah, sometimes.
Turf also allows you to play more games, especially in our climate.
Yes, it does.
Nasty thunderstorm kicks up. Games are done for the day. Can't finish the tournament. Nope, don't worry.
You
we're
know
on
what?
Turf.
Having a kid who plays softball, sometimes I like turf. I like tournaments on turf. I think that's fun. As a player, I would prefer grass. You?
I prefer turf, if only because, especially this time of year when they don't wet down the infields, it's like playing in a dust bowl.
Boy, he got you quick on that one.
That's good. I was done.
John Hines and Peter Laviolette, New York Post reports as finalists for the New York Rangers head coaching job. Joel Quenneville, apparently, because of his association with the Blackhawks scandal, is out. And Patrick Roy was a candidate, and he's out. I give you those four names, Mackie. Who would you choose if you were the Rangers?
Laviolette. He's got an established track record of having some success with multiple franchises.
Do we have to watch him coach every team in the league? before he's done?
At least that every team in
can
the Metro but the
Penguins.
Can he make
a stop in Pittsburgh?
Someday, maybe he does. If Sully doesn't coach for the next 10 years here. He's got an established track record of taking teams. NHL head coaches, 9.5 times out of 10, work with what they're given, and it's more on the general managers, I think. They're there as sort of rah-rah guys who hopefully employ the right system given the talent they've been handed. Laviolette, I think, has handled that.
I know. I know. Has he? He won the cup. Did he win the cup? Was he the coach in Washington? I can't even remember.
No,
that was Barry Trotz, and then he got fired. Tell me about Laviolette.
Is there any major difference between Hines and Laviolette?
I mean, Laviolette has been around more. Yes.
Right.
He's coached. Right.
He's got experience with good teams, too.
What the hell is going on here?
I don't know.
He did win the cup in Carolina a trillion years ago.
Yes, a long, long time ago.
And then he's been to the finals with Philly. He's been to the finals with Nashville. He lost in the first round twice with the Capitals, and then they missed the playoffs.
The resume is better than Hines's, correct?
It is.
Okay.
The guy's coached,
and he doesn't bring quite the headaches.
4, 5. I don't know.
Isn't that a function more of the NHL system of, oh, our team isn't quote unquote responding anymore? Time to fire the head coach after 4 or 5 years because they become quote unquote stale.
I don't know. Well, if you're a Penguin fan, then you want the worst guy for the job. Who would the worst of those four be for the Rangers job?
Joel Quenneville.
Well, there you go. Bring him in.
No, thank you.
Joel. I had a really good one. If only I could find it, Mackie. Where are we, Jolie?
The 69th topic is next.
Nice.
Oh, I have one here. Have you seen the story on the Pirates, these new age something-something uniforms?
Oh, the City Connect uniforms?
Tell me about them.
I haven't seen them.
What's going on
here? Did they
release
them yet?
What does that even mean, and when are they arriving?
Well, Boston has one, for example, that uses the same colors of the Boston Marathon, the light powder blue and yellow. I saw the Rockies had one. Washington has one. They're just a way to sell more merchandise,
What do
Joe?
They look like?
I don't think we've seen the Pirates.
Are they like these new age, really like the Thursday night football extra bright uniforms? What are we talking about here? We have seen them.
Oh, wait.
Because Adam Bittner has a story
I'm
where there was
at
a
it
leak.
Now.
You know
there
those
was...
uniforms they would wear on Sundays? They're like yellow with the black lettering.
Yeah. Those, huh?
Pretty much that.
Do you like them, Jolie?
I think they're pretty good.
Bright yellow, PGH and black lettering on the front, and then on the back, I don't know. What word would you use for this font, Joel?
Sleek?
Robotic.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I don't see the purpose of it, although to raise money, I suppose.
To sell more merchandise.
Yeah, I guess.
Major League Baseball wants to sell more merchandise, so there you go.
Thank you, Mackie.
All right, question number 70, because I meant to do it at number 68. Are you ready?
Yes.
When does number 68 get retired by the Penguins?
I'm going to say within 5 years. I mean, if they wait till Jagr's done playing, they're never going to retire it. It'll be the end of hockey. It'll be the year 3050.
Correct.
Let's just do it already. Get it up in the rafters.
I'm with you. I think it happens in the next 3 to 4 years. He'll be done playing semi-professionally or whatever he's doing over there in the next couple of years.
I mean, to me, it's a little bit different when you're a captain of a team and you ask to be traded. That's not good, but I think all is forgiven at this point, right?
I think it is, too.
Yeah, I think that would be an incredible ceremony.
If he were to come back as a player, which he doesn't play at the NHL level anymore, but if he did, I don't think he'd get booed like he did for a long, long time.
If he were to walk back in the building in any capacity, he would be wildly cheered.
Raucous
for minutes,
ovation.
For
yes.
Minutes and minutes.
And that's what will happen when they retire
and
his
I think
number
that's
in the next
a good
couple
thing.
Of years.
And as you know, we didn't get along so well.
I know. I've heard.
He blocked me on Twitter. It was the only block of his career. Bob Pelko. I'm going to do one more. Bob Pelko, former West Allegheny and Mount Lebanon coach, takes a job at Penn State. What do you make of this?
I'm a huge fan of it. I like it. I've heard nothing but good things about Coach Pelko from our coworker Doran Dickerson, as well as several other people. So I'm excited that he's going to be a part of the Penn State football program.
He will be at games and practices, but there will be no on-field coaching from him. Mike White reports that the job has a number of tentacles. That's interesting, isn't it? A job with tentacles.
Yes.
From being a mentor to Penn State players to dealing with coaches to communicating with high school athletes. I think that's an interesting job. He'll deal with potential recruits when they're on campus. I commend them for that. That's a very creative job description, mission statement for Bob Pelko. And he's a good football guy, a great football guy, right?
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely fantastic hire by Penn State.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.